We're doing Chafetz Chaim. We're up to the 10th chapter, the 4th paragraph, page Kuf Pei. And the Chafetz Chaim had been describing the, yes, page Kuf Pei, 180, Kuf Pei. The Chafetz Chaim had been describing the conditions necessary in order to say over Lashon Hara, where sometimes you see something and it's necessary to tell it to other people. So he said, number one, it has to be, you know it's true, you yourself saw it. Number two, you took good care, you weren't quick to decide that the guy was guilty, you verified the truth. Number three, you tried talking to the person himself. And number four, you don't exaggerate. Now we're up to number five. Haprat ha-chamishi, the fifth detail, shekatavnu leil, we wrote earlier, sheyichaven letoelet. Your intent in telling over the Lashon Hara has to be for a benefit, for a positive outcome. Kamo shenever, as we'll describe later, dehainu. Lo mibayim ha-anashim shum saper lifneim yicholim em la'azol ha-nigzal ve-la-neshak va-nizak va-mitbayesh b'inyanam. It's obvious if you're telling people that they can help the person, so then obviously you're bevadai nachon nasot adavar ken. Then it's correct to tell them. And here we have to take a little bit of caution. Let's say you notice that Jack has a drinking issue. So you say his wife could help him. Well, maybe if you tell his wife, you'll destroy his marriage. Who said she's the right person? The fact that someone can help doesn't mean that that's the right person to approach. Sometimes you have to do good homework to know who's the right person to approach. It's not enough to say, oh, so-and-so can be a help. It's so-and-so can be a help, and they're the right candidate to approach in this matter. V'afilu im atelt hazot lo tuchal lagi al yedei sipuro, rak shehu mitkaven sheyitrachku bnei adam midderech resha kshishmu shabuot meganot po'alei aven. Sometimes you have to react so that people will know that this is inappropriate, so that they won't follow in that person's footsteps. If they think that people admire someone who behaves that way, they might emulate them. If they see that people look down at someone who behaves that way, then they know not to. And maybe the person himself will repent when he sees people look down at him for this behavior. He'll behave differently when he hears people talk, they look down at him for this. This is also not Lashon Hara. This is considered you're doing it for the right reasons. Now this is very common in your home. You're going to have a guest that walks in and doesn't say hello, sits down and starts eating and doesn't wait for kiddush. And when he eats, he takes the salad bowl to his place because he thinks that's for him. So your kids might think that's cool. A week later, you might find your eldest daughter walks through the front door just like that guest did, goes and sits down, takes the bowl of salad, puts it on her place, and starts eating. And you look at her and you go, Sprintzy. And she says, what do you mean? Last week our guest did that. Seemed perfectly okay. What's wrong? Right? All kinds of weird habits. You'll be sitting at the Shabbos table and a guest will start picking at the food with their hands. So your kids will see that and say, that's cool. I'm going to do that too. We once had a guest that walked into the kitchen and started eating from the stuff in the kitchen. Okay. Some people just didn't have parents who taught them good manners. But you know what? Our job as parents is to teach the kids good manners, which also means that if our kids see something that's inappropriate, part of our responsibility in chinuch is to teach them that's not appropriate. That's not how we behave. And
it's tough to tell the people they're doing something wrong because you'll embarrass them.
You don't always have to tell the person. You sometimes have to tell the kid. Sometimes there's a teacher that does something that's wrong, and then you have to think very closely how to react. One of my kids one year came home and said it was towards the end of the year, and their teacher, who they were very fond of and I had questions about, had seen a fly on the wall, killed the fly with a tissue, took the tissue and started putting it next to the kid's mouth. So I didn't think that was humorous. I thought it was not educational. I thought it was disgusting, right? So I asked the kid, your teacher did what? And the kid told me a story again. And I said, what'd you do when the teacher did it? And the kid said, I started crying. And I just made a face. And I bit my lip and I didn't say a word. And I said, okay. And I didn't say anything for another few minutes. And then I asked the child, what else can you tell me about the teacher? So the kid understood how upset I was at the teacher without my saying it. He said to me, Abba, I like him. And every other way he's good. And every other way he's good. So he got the message. It's not a way to behave. And I'm upset that someone behaved that way to him. So you don't always have to give this whole speech to the kid about how wrong it is. Sometimes your reaction is going to say everything to the kid without the long speech. And on the contrary, the long speech is Lashon Hara, that's unnecessary. The kid heard that I'm asking him, what else does the teacher do that might not be appropriate? And the kid right away understands, okay, that's not. And my father's concerned, and I like the teacher, so I'm going to tell him. And every other way is okay. I'm not saying I bought into what the kid said so quickly, but the message doesn't always have to be belabored. And the Chafetz Chaim says our responsibility to give people perspective will sometimes be so important, there's no other way to do it. That's also called toilet. That's also a necessary benefit. Kivan shel kol panim en michaven le'anot me'apgam ho'u shu'u noten b'chavero rak lekanei la'emet. You don't intend under such circumstance to enjoy what you're saying negatively about someone else. Your point is the pursuit of truth. And your goal is hopefully that there will be benefit for the future by this. Okay, so we gave two examples. Number one is you're talking to the person who can actually reprimand them. You're talking to the person who can actually tell them, hey, that's not right. And there we said that's toilet, but you have to give it some thought. Is this the right person, or am I causing unnecessary harm? Right? This is a very common thing that people mess up on. They call the wrong person, and they ruin the person's life. They call the person's boss, they call the person's spouse, sometimes they call the person's parents, and these people might be able to affect change, but they might cause tremendous unnecessary collateral damage. And so it deserves some thought and often some research to verify who is the right person to talk to find out, who should I talk to? Just because my intention is for good doesn't make it a free-for-all. And the second example he gave is where we need to educate other people, so we will point out to them that so-and-so is not doing right. And that will help them recognize that they shouldn't go that route. I'll give you guys an example. I don't know if I should say it online or not. In our gear department, we had years where students would go to private Batei Din and do their gear. And they thought they were accomplishing something. And we tried to warn them that you might pay the price long term. We had students who spent years afterwards not being legal citizens. We have students who till today cannot get a Tudat Zehut and cannot get anything done. It's already been 7 or 9 years since the person did this, and the judicial system won't accept them, meaning they can't get a Tudat Zehut. I have a picture on my phone. I was walking in Mea Shearim. Suddenly I saw a chassid who looked very familiar. It was a student of ours undercover. He's hiding out. He had learned here like 9 years ago. And he went and did his gear in an unauthorized Beis Din. And till today, he can't get his gear approved. And on the contrary, he's a fugitive in the country. He doesn't have... And we had more than one student this way. We had students who were extradited. And we had students who are living under the radar. Like, they don't want to be... they can't become legal citizens, so they don't want to be seen. So now when our first student did it, we turned a blind eye. When our second student did it, we turned a blind eye. And at some point, we said to ourselves, we're doing a mistake. Because by not speaking out against those who did it, then other students think, hey, that's not a bad idea. I can get this done with much more quickly. I'll get my gear done. And in the end, students followed that suit. We had like an epidemic here in Mahon Meir. We had like 2-3 years where students were all like slowly leaving and doing it, and there's unrecognized batei din. I'm not saying they're not Jewish. I'm not saying their gear isn't kosher. I'm saying the long-term harm that they did to themselves and ultimately their ability to get married and set up their lives was tremendous. So now, we didn't want to speak badly about our students. The flip side is, other students thought, hey, why shouldn't I do that? Why shouldn't I finish my gear more quickly? I understand the temptation. So we tried to explain. I'm saying this was an example of where it might have been in our benefit to go and say, hey guys, you see so-and-so did it? I'm telling you, we had a student here. He sat right here where you guys are sitting. And he said to me after class, he said, I did it. And I'm telling you, that within 3 months, I'll have to tudat zehut. The person who I paid money to told me they have contacts in the chief remnant. I will have a tudat zehut in 3 months. 6 or 7 years later now, and he still doesn't have a tudat zehut. So people promised him for money that they'd arrange it for him. And today, it's many years later. Last time he called me, he was in Germany. He wasn't in the country. And he didn't get it arranged. There, maybe had we said, hey, you see so-and-so did it, we're telling you, follow the trail, see what happened in the end, see if they really got it, and see what the outcome is. It's not just because Machon Meir is Zionistic, which it is, it's also a practical question. Does it succeed in the long run for people? Can they set up a life with this type of certificate? Chafetz Chaim says, sometimes that's called the toelet also, telling people, hey, you're not necessarily going to benefit. You see what so-and-so did? He's going to suffer for it. Hey, that's also called toilet. V'ulay tavoy l'deze toilet ala'aba. That might help people in the future. Aval imu misha'er shebevaday lo tiyeh shum toilet. But if you think you're going to get nothing out of it, kegon im anashim shum saper lifneim gam hem ba'alei ha'resha, you're going to tell people, you know, so-and-so does inappropriate things, and they're thinking, well, so do I. So then, shegamhem asu kama pamim kara azot lanashim lo nashav b'neim lavon klal. You tell a group of kids, you know, so-and-so jumped onto the train and didn't pay because he thought I'm only going one stop, and he got away with it a few times, but then came the time where they caught him. And these kids are thinking, I'd do that. Okay, so he got caught once. I didn't yet get caught. So you didn't accomplish anything. So then you're not right in telling them that so-and-so got caught.
But people don't realize there's always someone watching you. You have to realize, I mean,
right.
You believe in Hashem. You have to believe that Hashem is always watching what you do.
Right. So a better example would be...
It doesn't make any difference if people see you or not.
Right. There was a story... now it's already been a number of years. When I heard the story, it was a fresh story. By now it's about a decade old. There was an old man standing at a tramp at a bus station, and a young man stopped his car and he said, where do you need to go? And he told him, that's where I need to go. He was in the north, and he said he needed to go somewhere southward. It was a 2-hour journey. So the young man said, yeah, I'm driving that route. He said to him, I have a bus in 20 minutes. Are you driving straight or are you making stops along the way? So the young man said, I'm driving straight, I have a 1-minute stop, don't worry about it, I'll be happy to take you. So the old man gets in the car, and the young man drives. An hour later, he stops, and a minute passes, and 5 minutes pass, and 10 minutes pass, and 20 minutes pass, and the old man says to him, you know, I asked you before I boarded how long your stop is going to be. The young man says, just a minute, and then a half hour passes, and 40 minutes pass, and the old man says, you know, I asked you before I boarded the ride how long you're going to be. And the young man says, I'm doing you a favor. I'm taking you in my car. You have no right to tell me anything. I'm going to take as long as I want. And then he takes another 20 minutes. An hour later, the old man says, you know, it's really not fair. I asked you before I boarded. And the young man said, oh, you think you're going to tell me something? I'm going to show you. And he takes the car and turns it around and drives an hour back to the original bus stop where he picked him up. And he says, now you can get off. So the old man doesn't have too much of a choice. He gets off the car. Fine. Sad story. A year passes, 2 years pass, and the old man gets a phone call that his granddaughter got engaged, is invited to the engagement. He shows up to the engagement, and he sees the same young man who took him back up an hour ride to the bus stop.
Wow.
So he walks in, and he calls over his son and his daughter-in-law, and he says, I know this young man, and that's not a person that belongs in our family. someone who could be so cruel to an old man and drive back an hour to drop off someone an hour back when he was continuing to drive in the same direction, you shouldn't want him as the husband of your daughter. And with that, they broke the engagement. They told them the story and they broke the engagement. So, as you said, someone's always watching. People think they can do something. They bought a train. They didn't pay. They got away with it. How do you know? Maybe you destroyed your job prospects. And even if you don't see the outcome, up there someone's watching. So coming back to the Chafetz Chaim, he says, if you know that these people don't view it as a problem, so then you can't go telling them that so-and-so did it. You're not going to benefit anything, and worse things can happen. They can easily go back to the person and tell them, you know what he said about you? Then they end up destroying themselves. They're telling Lashon Hara. Big fights can come out of this. ובפרט אם חס ושלום יוכל לבוא על ידי זה לעניין מלשינות, אפילו אם ישלמו כל הפרטים, גם כן אסור לספר שום דבר. And if you know that someone will take your information and use it to report the person illegitimately to the authorities, so then even if everything you said is true, you can't do it. And we'll pick up here. We're in the middle of this paragraph. That's a long paragraph. We'll pick up here, Bezat Shem, tomorrow night. Vida.